Good morning, Faith Baptist Church. We welcome you today to our time of worship, and we are gathered for that specific purpose, that we might worship God today. Here's what the psalmist says in Psalm 29. He says, "Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." God, by his grace, gives us the great privilege of worshiping today. We're glad that you're here with us. Let me give you just a few announcements this morning before we worship. First of all, we just thank God for our Sunday ministries. We praise God for the teaching that's taking place and for the opportunity to worship, and we just praise God for that. Keep in mind, our Wednesday evenings are just normal Wednesday evening ministries, 6:30 youth meeting, Truth Trackers, adult prayer, 7 o'clock is an adult Bible study. Right now, our ladies' Bible studies are taking place on Tuesdays, so you need to check your bulletin for details, time, and location for those. GDR3 and GDR2 are meeting now. That takes place on Monday nights and Thursday nights. And if you're interested in growing deeper roots, that's our intentional discipleship ministry, then talk to me about it. There are also pamphlets in the back. Pick up one of those and review that. And if you have questions about growing deeper roots, I'd be happy to share that ministry with you. Also, there are nominations for church election. That's in the back in the foyer. If you'd like to pick up one of those, it needs to be turned in today, October 4th. Would be the deadline, and then we'll announce in the next, we'll announce soon when our church election will take place. So please be involved in that. And then finally, our new steeple is arriving tomorrow morning. I don't know what time the steeple is arriving, but we need 6 to 8 strong people who will help us unload. Now, notice I said strong people. I didn't say strong men, I said strong people. And that means there may be some ladies who are strong and who will want to help us. But I'll send out an email today in regards to the time. They're supposed to notify me today when they'll arrive, and that'll take place tomorrow morning. So we thank God for that. We're glad that you're here. Let's worship our great God right now. Fred.
Good morning. Today is the beautiful day. No matter is the sunny, snowing, or rainy, is the beautiful day. Because God gave us one more day for glorify him. Amen. So enjoy this time, this new day for worship him and praise him. So before we sing our first hymn, let me read. I will read one more time, but let me read this verse. 2 Peter 1:3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. 2 Peter 1:3. Let go stand with me and open your hymnal or look at the screen, number 173, Blessed Be the Name.
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name.
may be seated, please. Blessed be the name. Our worship this morning will be centered on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are continually reminded, and rightly so, that Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. This was our greatest need. But the work of the Son of God is not limited to salvation from sins. As a matter of fact, to the child of God, everything we receive from God comes from His grace through Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means? Do you know what everything we receive through Jesus Christ? It means that everything we have comes through Christ, and we have everything we need through Him. Amen. I read this verse, begin our first hymnal, but I want for first hymn, but I want to read again. 2 Peter 1:3. Look what our worship verse today says. 2 Peter 1:3 says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Look what this word says. All things should pertain to life and godliness. We have everything we need in our life. More important thing in our life we have, God gave us through Jesus Christ. Every Christian receives all that he or she needs at the moment of salvation. We must grow and mature as believers, but no needed resort is missing. This is a reason for praise. This is a reason for worship. This is a reason for thankfulness. God gives us all things through Jesus Christ. What do we need more? Maybe our hearts try put our minds and some think it is not true. Because this is what we really need. Okay, this verse don't says for you about your needs, but in the other verse in the Philippians, Paul talk about the God supply all needs. So this is a great comfort for our hearts, because this put our eyes in the focus that only through really think or really matter in our lives, Jesus Christ. Bow our heads now, please, and take the few minutes in prayer and think about this great blessings that God gave us through Jesus Christ, because through Him we have everything and we need. And I invite my brother Dave Martin for prayer here, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we have never seen before. We don't take it for granted that you woke us up to recognize that you have watched us and cared for us while we slept. Father, it's because of you that we live, breathe, and have life. The mystery of creating us is beyond our comprehension, other than the things you have revealed, that you want us to be in a deep and intimate relationship with you. through the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life to show us just how much you value us, how much you care for us. And God, our desire, those of us who have come to know you, and we pray for those who have yet to have been introduced to you, but we know you're working toward that goal in their life even now, is that we will learn to be content with what you have provided for us. Lord, teach us what it is to be overflowing with the peace of God that rules our hearts and our minds. In the midst of every circumstance of life, be it good or ill. Help us, O Lord, to find the mystery that Paul found, that he said what godliness, raiment, should bring about contentment. Help us to be content and not allow this world in which we live in to program us incorrectly. Lord, help us to be like Job, who says, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Help us to make sure that our grip is tight and our root and our anchor is solely in you. I pray for us in these times in which we're living in. We need to know you like this. We need to know you in this type of covenant relationship. Lord, help us to be content with you and you alone, so that our lives will not be a delusion and that the reality of life makes sense. We thank you for Jesus, Father, and all that he means to you. And please let him mean just as much to us. For it's in his precious name I pray. Amen.
Let's go sing the hymn number 463. 463, Blessed Assurance. Savior all the day long. I expect it's not today, but tomorrow too. Okay? And after too. You don't know, we don't know what happened tomorrow. I know sometimes When something so bad happened in our life, we lost our desire for praise God because our eyes is completely in the problem, in the difficulties. But look what the verse says. Look what this worship says. God gave us all things for life and godliness. All things praise to the Savior all the day long. When Jesus Christ, our Savior, completed his redemptive work on the cross of Calvary, he cried out in victory. He says, "It is finished." That means the debt of sin was paid. The work of salvation was done, fulfilled, complete, and nothing was omitted. All who received Christ by faith have received everything that Christ gives for our finished salvation. Look what Paul says in two verses. I call my brother Tim for it for us.
First Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." Amen. And in Ephesians 1:3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ."
Believers, to possess Jesus Christ is to have every spiritual resource. Should this not bring forth a song of praise to our God through Jesus Christ? Should this not bring forth a love and devotion for him? Amen. So stand with me, please, and sing two more hymns. Number 160, "My Jesus, I Love Thee."
Thank you.
9, I love you, Lord. Be seated, please. Many Christians and many churches today have been fooled by the notion that our spiritual resources we find in Christ are not enough to meet the needs of people. But the Bible makes it very clear that in Jesus Christ, every need will be supplied. Look what Paul says in Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let me read one more time this verse. I know maybe when you go back home, you're so busy, fix the lunch, or I don't know. But try memorize this verse. Try meditate in this verse. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. According to what? His riches, our Creator, our sovereignty God. He has control of everything. All the treasure in this world is pertains to Him, belong to Him. And He says, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My brothers, please, not only heard this verse, but practice in your life. Trust in Him. All things we need for sanctification, He gave us. All things that we need for living for God's glory, He gave us. All things that we need to rejoice even in suffering, He gave us. All things that we need to attain everlasting joy, He gave us. God had given us to us all things through Christ Jesus. This truth should encourage us today. This truth should bring forth praise and glory to our God through Christ our Savior. Sorry, I know I asked you for a seat a few minutes ago, but please stand one more time and sing with me the hymn 481. Jesus, I'm resting. Thank you. Seated, please. Only the last line, the last verse says, keep me ever trusting, resting, fill me with thy grace. Amen. Only through his grace we can trust, we can rest. So my brothers, our time now is our time for only for remember you about our offering. And one more time, touching this point is our plates is in the foyer. If you have your offering, you can put there before or after our worship service. So, but I want to say thank you for your offering. Thank you for the blessings you gave this church. And I'm so say thank you, Lord, for blessing our church too, and in your life especially. So I want to look in Isaiah. This chapter in Isaiah, chapter 4, only brief meditation in Isaiah, chapter 4. It's the short chapter, but remind us about the plan that God has. When you look some prophecies in the Old Testament, we saw how God has controlled everything. Some of those happening, some of those not yet. But when you look in this, especially in this chapter 4, we remember this promise that God says here. He says in the verse 2, especially says, in the day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. Isaiah 4, chapter 2. And the fruit of the land shall be the pride and honor of the survivors of Israel. This day is not happening completely. Jesus come, this branch of the Lord, the prophet Isaiah received this prophecy is about Jesus Christ. They come one time, but they come yet the second time for restore all the land. But this day will be happening. It's interesting because when I look the prophet Isaiah, when I look at the Old Testament, let me say this for you. My point is not see the grace of God in the Old Testament. When I look this test, my point is not see, I want to see the grace of God here. But it's impossible you don't see the grace of God. Maybe we need fix our mind about the grace of God and see, okay, we have grace only in Jesus Christ. God showed his grace in all history. I say this one time. I'm going to continue to repeat this every time. Because this is the big truth of the Bible. God showed his grace in every part of the scripture. In every part this time. And when we look here in this chapter 4, it's spectacular. It's fantastic. Because the nation of Israel, like us, committed sin every time, forget God every time. And every time God looked for them and said, okay, like a father, I need punishment you, but I have some grace, some news of grace for you, good news for you. And look what the verse 4 says and verse 5 says. When the Lord shall have washed away the filthy of the daughters of Zion and cleansing the bloodstains of Jerusalem from its midst by a spirit of judgment and by a spirit of burning, then the Lord will create over. Look what God showed grace here. Wash away, cleansed, create. My brothers, God is the God, the huge grace for us. His grace has sustained us every day. Every day. And when you look about this branch here, the Isaiah heard about the God, you know what this branch says for us in John 15? Look what this branch says for us. In John 15, only the verse 5. Only the verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We can in Christ. Because he is the branch of the Lord.
Yes, he is.
He is the person who restored not only the Israel, but all the world. And this is the message of grace that God gave for us. Has time yet for you to put your faith in Jesus Christ? The day that he's come, we don't know, but he's coming. He's coming. And so, trust in him, like the first line the song has. Keep me ever trusting, resting in him. Because in him, I can do everything. Because he gave us everything in him. Let's go pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful. Thankful because you were so clear and say, only in Christ we can do everything. Only in Christ we receive everything for our life and godliness. And you are so clear because it's only through him. Because for ourselves, nothing can happen. Nothing. So Lord, help us for remember this big truth in our life. During the morning when we, everyone here in this church, our brother in Christ, wake up the morning and say, God, one more day you gave me for glorify you. But help me for make this day through Jesus Christ, independence and rely in him only. Because God, this is the true drink in our life. So Lord, thank you. Thank you because this morning you gave us the opportunity for showing through Jesus Christ the joy and worship him and praise him and adore you, God. Thank you. But I ask you too for the life of the Pastor Tim this morning, for the message he speak to us, speak independence in the Holy Spirit. And your word, open our hearts, our mind, to glorify you more and more. So, Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning. Those ages 2 through 4 are dismissed at this time for Children's Church. I was looking for a mad exodus. Nothing happened. For the rest of us, we will look at Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 31. Acts 17, verses 24 through 31. Now, by God's grace, I hope I don't see two words. These glasses are 2.5, and I'm used to 1.5. So last week, I saw two words. So be praying for me. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with man's hands as though he needs anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times in their boundaries as their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word, beloved.
I'm thinking about our hunger for the word of God. Are you hungry this morning? I pray that you're hungry, and if you're not hungry today, hungry for God himself, then one remedy for that is ask him. Ask him for the hunger. And if we ask him to give us that hunger, he will feed us. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's do some asking. Father, we thank you for this time of worship. Thank you for your people who have gathered today. And oh God, please protect us. It's far too easy for us to wander in our thoughts and our affections. And God, you've brought us together as your people. And God, it is indeed a blessing and a privilege. For Father, we acknowledge that there are groups of your people throughout this country who we're not meeting, who've yet to come together. And God, we just thank you that we can. And you've allowed us to do it. And Father, help us now to continue worship. Help us not to think that worship begins now. Worship began earlier. And yet, God, we can even say that worship takes place all the time. Help us now, corporately, together, to continue to worship by looking at your word and hearing your word. And open our ears and open our hearts to you and speak to us, Father, we pray. We need this. We need, Father, you. Speak to us today for your glory and change us as you see fit by the truth that's before us. We pray in the name of our great Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 The Apostle Paul was standing at the Areopagus. You may have a translation that says Mars Hill. It's in the city of Athens, Greece. And it's a rocky point near a sacred place of worship in Athens. And I want you to picture this in your mind this morning. He's standing there at that place and he is surrounded by the leaders of that city. And Paul takes the starting point of his sermon to them from the observation that these Athenians have an altar in the city to an unknown God. In Acts chapter 17, verse 23, Paul says to them, "The one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." In verses 24 and 25, Paul then identifies God, and he says, "God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things." In verse 26, Paul then explains God's relationship with man and man's relationship with other men. And he says it this way, "And he," that's God, "made from one blood," or one man, "every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." In verse 27, Paul says that God's purpose in ruling the nations like this is to put them on a search for God. And he says so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him. And then, folks, in the last part of verse 27, Paul clarifies this search for God, because it's not a search for a distant deity, but God is very near to those who seek Him. Paul says, yet He is not far from each one of us. And then Paul points out in verses 28 and 29 the utter foolishness of idolatry. He says in verse 29, "Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature or the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising or man's imagination." So having begun with the absolute self-sufficiency of God above and beyond the service of man, and having asserted God's sovereignty over the life and the destiny of people and nations, and having made clear that God's aim is to rule in a way that will set men searching for the meaning of life outside of the created world, and having assured us of the nearness of God to those who seek Him and the folly of treating Him as an idol, Paul then declares with amazing authority in verses 30 and 31, look at it with me, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, and now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead." Brothers and sisters, do you see why that this passage is so important in understanding the human race? It shows us who God is. It shows us what God did. It shows us mankind's great need, and it reveals to us the right response to God. And now, in these last words to the men of Athens, Paul declares God's message to the world of men. And what is that message? What do the men of Athens need to know? How do the men of Athens need to respond? How do all men need to respond to God? Let's look at our passage this morning. Acts chapter 17. We'll focus now on verses 30 and 31. First of all, I want you to see that Paul declares to the men of Athens in verse 30 that these times of ignorance God overlooked. So here then before us is another action of God toward man. God overlooked these times of ignorance. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, let's focus on this phrase, these times of ignorance. Now, first of all, I would say to you that these words by the Apostle Paul to the men of Athens, these are not words of contempt. These are not words of ridicule. These are words of truth and reality by Paul to the men of Athens. This word ignorance that he uses, it simply means without knowledge. And so Paul was saying that in the past, men lived in ignorance. And it's not that man had no knowledge of God, but through natural revelation, man had abundant knowledge of God, but man ignored that knowledge and he went his own way and he rejected God and the reality of God in his life. And folks, the evidence of that rejection was idolatry. And the city of Athens was the prime example, because these are religious people who have given themselves to idols made of gold and silver and stone, which they made with their own hands. Think about it. They've given themselves in worship to things that they have made with their own hands. And so these were indeed times of ignorance. God was the unknown God. Now look again at verse 30. Because Paul then says, truly, these times of ignorance, God overlooked. God overlooked. And folks, this does not mean that God ignores sin and does not punish sin. The word overlook that Paul uses here would refer to his patience, his forbearance, his mercy. In other words, God did not give mankind in the past what mankind deserved. And though people were under his wrath and without excuse because of natural revelation, God overlooked their rebellion by not bringing immediate special judgment on their sin. In other words, in the past, when man rebelled against God and man rejected God, God did not bring judgment upon man immediately. But he overlooked that. He was patient with man. He was long-suffering with man. God did not give mankind what he deserved. Now, hold your place here in Acts chapter 17 and go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And look at verse 25, because Paul says the same thing to the Roman Christians as he describes their salvation. It's a familiar passage, a familiar verse. Look at the last part of verse 25. Because Paul says this about God and mankind, Romans 3, 25. He says, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Now, that's the same thing Paul said to the Athenians. The word forbearance here means to hold back or to delay. You see, that's how God responded in the past. Go to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Because Paul used this same phrase in another situation. Acts chapter 14. Here in Acts 14, he's speaking to the people of Lystra in Asia Minor. These people had also given themselves over to false gods and idols. When Paul and Barnabas showed up and they began to share the gospel, the people of Lystra actually believed that they were gods who had come down. You see, that's how far that they had moved away from the true and living God. Look at verse 15. Acts chapter 14, verse 15. Paul speaks to them and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways." Do you see verse 16? Very same thing that he said to the Athenians. Very same thing he explained to the Roman Christians. You see, what Paul is saying then to the men of Athens in Acts chapter 17 is that God is patient and God is merciful. And instead of destroying rebellious humanity in immediate judgment because of their sin against him, God gives mercy and God acts in patience. Let me stop here for a moment. Aren't you glad that God continues to act in mercy? Aren't you glad that God continues to be long-suffering toward sinful man? Oh, we should be thankful. See, this was the characteristic in the past, but Paul now speaking to these men of Athens, we can be thankful that God still gives mercy. And just like these men of the ancient world, we don't deserve it, but God gives it. And God continues to treat mankind with patience and forbearance and great mercy. Folks, God's judgment on mankind is coming. Mark that down. Write that down. It is coming. But praise God for His mercy. Praise God for His long-suffering. Now look at the next statement that Paul makes to the men of Athens in verse 30. God now commands repentance. The next part of Paul's statement in verse 30 gives a contrast. He says, "But now commands all men everywhere to repent." You see, Paul moves the men of Athens from the past ignorance and idolatry to the present, to the now. See, he touched upon the past. This is how God operated in the past. God overlooked this rebellion. It's not that he would not judge it, and yet he showed mercy and he showed forbearance and long suffering. And now Paul gives the contrast and he says, "But now something has happened." The Apostle Paul, the messenger of God's grace and one who was sent out by Jesus Christ, declares to the men of Athens that now it is different. In the past, here's how God operated. Here's how God functioned. But now, it's different. Something of immense historical and personal significance has happened in the world. A great change has taken place. The present is very different than the past, is what Paul's saying. You see, in the past, God overlooked and God was patient. And God was long-suffering, and God was forbearing in immediate judgment. But now, he says, in the present, these men of Athens need to know that God commands them to repent. Repent. The word repent, it means a change of mind. You see, the message of God through the Apostle Paul to the men of Athens and to the humanity of their world was simple and plain and clear. Repent. Change your mind. Change your mind about God and change your mind about your idols, and change your mind about who God is and what God has done, and change your mind about your unbelief, and change your mind about your sin. You see, folks, true repentance involves a change of mind, a turning. And true repentance always brings with it faith. you change your mind about unbelief, and then you turn to God in belief. That is biblical repentance. The word repentance and faith are used interchangeably in the book of Acts. When the apostles would call people to salvation, sometimes they would use the word repent. Paul uses it here. Sometimes they use the word believe. And sometimes they use the word repent and believe. You see, it all points to where man is and what man needs to do and the faithfulness of God working. Hold your place in Acts chapter 17 and go to Acts 26. Acts chapter 26. And look at verses 19 and 20. The Apostle Paul is standing before King Agrippa, and he's giving his testimony before Agrippa. Acts 26, look at verse 19. He says, "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting of repentance." Do you see that, folks? This is a solid description by the Apostle Paul of true salvation. You repent. You change your mind about your unbelief. You turn to God. That's belief or faith. And then you do works of repentance. These are good works that are evidence of genuine salvation. A good, solid description of salvation that Paul gives to King Agrippa. And folks, notice back in Acts chapter 17, notice that the message of repentance was not just for the men of Athens. Paul was talking to the men of Athens. He declares it to them, but look at how he says it. Because it's a universal message. He says that God commands all men everywhere to repent. You see, he doesn't leave anyone out. See, that word that he uses, men, is this word that points to mankind. It points to humanity. So ladies, don't you think he's only talking to men? Don't you think that? See, it's all mankind. It's all humanity. This covers the whole human race. No one is excluded. No one is left out. God has been patient with the whole human race. But now, Paul says to these men of Athens, but now he commands the whole human race to repent. And you know, you can almost sense the urgency and the finality of this message. Now is the time. Now is the opportunity. And why the change? Why the difference from the past to the present as Paul presents this truth? Well, notice that Paul explains and he gives the answer in verse 31. God has appointed a man to judge the world. Folks, if Paul was standing before a group of Jewish men, he would be very specific. We see examples of that in the book of Acts. This man who would judge the world is the Messiah. He is Jesus Christ. Paul stands before these men of Athens and he says that God will judge the world. In other words, the time of patience and the time of long-suffering and mercy will end, and God will judge the world of men in righteousness, and God will do it through a very special man that God has ordained or that God has appointed. And this man is a special man because he died and he was raised from the dead. Folks, the great change in redemptive history is centered on this man, and of course this man is Jesus. And so fully did Jesus sum up or complete the revelation of God and all the hopes of God's people that there is now no other. It is done. It is finished. It's complete. Jesus Christ is the fullness and the completeness of God's promises concerning salvation. And the call to repentance now sounds forth with complete clarity. And here it is. We look at Paul's words, by the virtue of his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ is the judge of all the peoples of this world, and all appeals for mercy and any acquittal must now come through one man, and that one man is Jesus Christ. Now, why did God do it this way? Could God have done it any other way? He is God. Why did he do it this way? As I thought through the reasons, in the least, God wants to make it crystal clear that men on their own, by their own wisdom, by their own religion, by their own efforts, by their own righteousness, will never, ever fully know God. A specific, special, supernatural work of God would be required to bring people to a true and saving knowledge of God. And how did God do it? God the Father sent God the Son. And God the Son became a man. And God the Son lived a perfect life. And God the Son died for our sins. And God the Son was raised from the dead. And anyone who repents, anyone who believes, anyone who puts their faith in this God-man, Jesus Christ, will receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Because of what God did through Jesus Christ, then Paul says he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. You see, God no longer intends for the times of ignorance to continue. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has given assurance to all men that Jesus is the universal judge, and only through faith in the crucified and risen Jesus can men be saved. This was the message that Paul gave these men of Athens. And brothers and sisters, this is the message that we declare today. Now, this was not known before because Jesus was not here before. But in verse 30, Paul says, but now the times of ignorance are over. And Jesus has brought the purposes of God to fulfillment. In Jesus, all of the promises of God are yes. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Before Jesus, every knee will bow. Philippians 2:10. And therefore, Jesus is the focus, the only focus of saving faith. And he is openly, by God, installed and declared as judge, and he alone can receive appeals for mercy. He alone can save through his blood. Jesus is that only way of salvation. Now, folks, what does that say to us today? What does this message that Paul preached to these men of Athens 2,000 years ago, what does that say to us today at Faith Baptist Church? Three things stand out. First of all, today is a day of repentance and salvation. You see, Paul faced these Athenians, and he faces Iowans, and he faces the people of Iowa City through the declaration of this word, and every person here today, and every person on this planet. And he says that the meaning of your day is that the times of ignorance are over, and God commands you to repent, to believe in Jesus, and to be saved from the judgment of God. You see, that's the message for us today and the world today. So these then are days of grace. and salvation. God is working, and God's moving, and God is working out His purpose in this world today, and God uses what He wants to use to get the attention of people today. And we can look around in our world right now, today, and know that God is working. And people are responding to the good news of Jesus in the same way that people responded to the message that Paul preached then. Look at verses 32 to 34, Acts 17. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." And so Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed. Among them, Dionysius the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with him. Do you see that? Some mocked. It means they rejected. They made fun of the message. They said no to the message. People respond in the same way today. Others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." In other words, I want to hear more about Jesus. I want to hear more about this salvation. People respond the same way today. And then some, praise God, believed. Individuals, specific individuals here, believed and put their faith in Jesus. They believed the message of the gospel. And today, individuals, specific individuals, as the plan of God works, receive the gospel and believe the gospel and are saved. Today is a day of repentance and salvation. But number two, today then is a day of proclaiming. The days of ignorance are over. The days of the nations walking in their own ways is gone. The call of repentance goes out where? To the whole world. Paul says all men everywhere need to repent. And therefore that reminds us of our responsibility. Because brothers and sisters, they cannot repent unless they hear. Amen. And they cannot hear unless someone tells them. And it reminds us of Paul's words to the Romans in Romans chapter 10 verse 13 when he says, "For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or without one who proclaims? And how shall they preach or proclaim unless they are sent?" You see, brothers and sisters, the days of ignorance are over, and the day of repentance and salvation and proclaiming the gospel is here. And then number three, today is a day of loving and going and sending. You see, it becomes very personal to us because it's a day of loving people right here in Iowa City. And it's loving them enough to tell them about Jesus. It's loving them enough to share the gospel with them. It's a day of loving your coworker or your fellow student or your family enough to share the gospel of God's grace to them. It's a day of Faith Baptist Church making efforts, whether it be organized efforts or frankly, much more effective, making efforts as individuals in our lives, connecting with the people that God brings into our lives, and being obedient to the command of the Lord Jesus to make disciples of all the nations, wherever you are, wherever God puts you, to share this gospel of God's grace with them. You see, folks, that's what it means to be gospel-centered and gospel-focused and gospel-driven. God says now is the time to repent, and there is no repentance apart from the gospel. And every part of our lives will be impacted by the fact that God now commands all men everywhere to repent. So this is God's message. The day of ignorance is over. Today is a day of repentance and salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And it was this message that the believers of the first century took to their world. And brothers and sisters, it is now our world. And the message is the same. The human race desperately needs the gospel. And we have it. And we must tell others. We must share it. Let's bow our heads. Father, help us. Father, quiet our hearts right now. Help us just for a few moments to consider the power and the impact of this passage before us. Father, you sent Paul to Athens. He declared the gospel of your grace. God, you have placed us right here to do the same. Help us, Father. We are weak. We need your help. But God, help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to faithfully share this message that will change lives, change families. It could change our world little by little, person by person. Thank you, God, for your great provision. Help us now just for a moment to see the seriousness, Father, of the responsibility you've given us. Father, I pray if there's anyone here today, anyone who's not placed their faith in Jesus. God, I'm reminded of Paul's words. The times of ignorance are over. Today, you've given opportunity to hear the good news. God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. If there's anyone here, I pray that they would repent. They would turn from their unbelief, and Father, they would put their faith in you through Jesus Christ, crucified and raised from the dead. God, I pray for your work in hearts right now. And God, help us as your people not to lose sight, not to be overwhelmed by the things of this world or the difficulties of life or whatever situation, God, you place in our lives, but help us to look to you, to trust you, and to continue to be instruments in your hands, wherever you place us and whatever situation you bring into our lives. We praise you for your faithfulness and praise you that we can look to you for strength and help and all that we need through Christ Jesus. To him be glory. To you, God, may we worship and give praise through Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's sing together familiar hymn 336 in your hymnals, 336. It's familiar and it's a declaration of where our hope is. And where is our hope? Our hope is in the Lord. 336, the words are on the screen also. Let's sing together. 336. It's a personal song. Very personal. For me, for me, for me. Is it personal for you? Is your hope in the Lord? Hey, folks, we can put our hope in a lot of things. We can put our hope in money. We can put our hope in education. We can put our hope in the government. We can put our hope in a president. We can put our hope in a country. We can put our hope in all kinds of things. But the only hope that lasts is our hope in the Lord Jesus. Praise Him. Praise Him. Let's sing now. Verse 4 is the final. Thank you so much for being here. Worship the Lord. Worship God through Jesus Christ. He's the only one worthy of worship. Amen. We do that through our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, thanking Him and praising Him. Stacy, close our time in prayer. Thank you, Stacy.